Sir, we have a question here from Jackie McGregor. She says, will President Trump enact the executive order from 2018, as he has already been given the information on foreign interference in our election? I think we just need to speak up a bit more, too, because I wonder if the audio is a bit low. So, again, asking about whether Trump will enact the 2018 executive order. Now he has information that China, Russia, and Iran interfered in our election.
I believe that he will, but then I don't speak for the president. I don't represent him, and at the end of the day, only the president is going to make a decision on how to handle this constitutional crisis that will, I believe, ultimately determine whether we live as a free people or whether we live under tyranny. So the answer is, I think the basis for his actions under the executive order exists. I think China attacked this country with the COVID virus. I think they clearly attacked this country by interfering in our national election. I think Iran was involved. It looks like Russia was involved too. So there is a basis, a factual predicate for the president to act. But there are other legitimate bases for the president to take action. Listen, we've heard over the years this phrase that we're in a constitutional crisis. It's almost become almost a level of, it's almost benign. Everything's a constitutional crisis over the years with the media. This is a constitutional crisis. The fabric of our Constitution is at risk. So we're in the real deal now. So the president's got to use the executive order. He's got to use, if necessary, martial law and the precedent. It's been used 68 times in our country. It's not out of the ordinary, although it's used, I think, judiciously. Abraham Lincoln used it to save our country. Or we've got to use the inherent power of the presidency, the chief executive officer of our country, who has a sworn duty to you and me, to the we the people, to faithfully uphold and execute the laws of our country. Legislature passes laws. Supreme Court interprets the law. The president has the duty to execute the law. So he is the person that has the final authority. The buck stops with him on what he needs to do to make sure that our country follows the rule of law. The laws were not followed in this election, Josh. They were blatantly violated. Fraud was rampant. A lot of states did the same thing that Georgia did. They got the governor or even sometimes the local officials were allowed to determine how to deal with the mail-in votes. It has to be done by the legislature. So we've got illegal elections in several states. We've got fraud that permeated almost the entire country, but particularly so in the swing states. The courts have got to open their eyes. They've got to be courageous. They got to put aside their personal interests, even sometimes their concerns over their own lives. They've got to do the truth, and they've got to follow the rule of law if this country is going to survive with freedom.
Now, in terms of this executive order, you've, of course, talked about Abraham Lincoln before.
Great example.
And if we look back at history, the state of the country that Lincoln was faced with was that states believed they could have slavery. He said, no, you cannot. And they said, well, we have state rights. We are able to make our own laws. And Lincoln, based on saying, well, there's limits to that, of course, brought about martial law, essentially, and resulted in the Civil War. Now we in America are facing a very similar crisis, which is that local states, again, are saying, well, we are in charge of election laws. And the country is looking at almost the exact same situation, just instead of saying we can choose how we determine the freedom or slavery of our citizens, saying we can determine the, say, integrity or lack of integrity in our election system. And Trump is faced with a very similar circumstance. How do you see this playing out?
Well, let me try to make it simple because I don't profess to be an election law expert. But I know that our country is, as it's described, the United States. So we have a country that is made up of 50 states, but we are united by the Constitution of the United States. So a state can assert that it has the right to govern its own election, but wait a minute. On a federal election, it's got to do it within the framework of the Constitution. That's what the state signed on to when we created this country and made it the United States of America. Lincoln tried to cut a deal before the Civil War started, and he was going to allow the states in the South that had slavery to keep it. But it was the South that said, no, we won't take your deal, because they were afraid that one by one they would start taking away the legality of slavery. And so they drew the line in the sand, South Carolina seceded from the Union, and the war began. Lincoln tried to avoid war. I think President Trump is trying to avoid civil unrest and would love to avoid what I think is inevitable, and that is a war with China. When I say a war with China, I don't want anybody to start thinking about nuclear bombs going back and forth, because we don't fight wars until we fight the final war with nuclear bombs, because that's going to be annihilation. China attacked us with the COVID virus. It's a biological weapon. They killed over 200,000 Americans. Compare that to the number of people that died at Pearl Harbor. Compare that to the number of people that died in 9/11. And get mad, get angry. These people came over here with a virus and they killed over 200,000 people of our, 200,000 of our fellow citizens. They tore up our businesses, they tore up our economy. They had people running us into to our homes, tell us we had to wear masks, tell us how many people we could have in our house, tell us when our businesses could be open and closed, tell us how we could worship our God and control our churches. It's time to get angry about that, America, because that was China. Don't make any mistake about it. It was planned. You can go look at a documentary, Indoctrination, just like it sounds. Indoctrination, one word. I helped finance that documentary with a man named Mickey Willis. That documentary tells you the truth. The pandemic was the plandemic. It was planned. We've had a virus in our country ever since 2000. 2000 election year, it was Y2K, computer virus. 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016, there's been a virus every election year. Why? Because they were grooming us. China plays long term. China's been taking over this country with communism for the last two plus maybe three decades. They said publicly they'd take our country over by 2049. They moved it to 2030. Now they've moved it to 2020. The communist influence permeates our governments, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, our legislators, people I think that even work for the President of the United States, and our judiciary, either because of ideology or because they've been corrupted with Chinese money, or maybe in some sad instances they are being blackmailed because they got caught in a situation documented by China and they use that type of extortion to control you. America's got to make a fundamental decision that was made back in 1776. Are we going to live free, or are we going to live with tyranny? We didn't take it from the King of England when he tried to control us unfairly without our voices and our representation. If we don't stand up now and fight for our freedom, it's going to be China and the globalists that are going to be telling us how to live our lives without representation. So it's time for America to realize this is 1776 again. This is time to stand up and be counted if you love liberty, if you love freedom, if you want your children and your grandchildren to live as free individuals. And remember, what America does impacts the world. We are the shining light. We are the beacon. There are countries and people all over the world that have hope that one day they can be free. They get their hope from America. You turn out the lights of freedom on America, you turned out the light of freedom on the world.
Now, Trump just said on Twitter that he's not going to initiate martial law. He said this is fake news. What's your response to this?
President Trump is a genius. Anybody that says to the contrary doesn't know what they're talking about. I've only met him once, but I've watched him. In fact, I followed him in his career. I read The Art of the Deal. I voted more for him in 2016 because I thought Hillary Clinton was a crook. And I think Hillary Clinton is a crook. I know she is. So I picked at the time the person I thought that would come in, and I chose between chaos and a criminal. I chose chaos because we needed chaos in Washington, D.C. We needed somebody to come in there and shake up the structure. We got a bunch of career politicians who've been bought off with money, who are interested in themselves only and not the people. We need to shake it up and change it. That's what Trump's been doing. The people in power don't like that. They don't want to put, they're not standing up and fighting for him. Even the Republicans are not, because the Republicans are part of the good old boy network. We got to get rid of the good old boy network. We got to start sending people into government at the local, state, and national levels that care about the people, that represent the people, that don't go there to make money, stay in office for the rest of their lives, and build up first their own personal power and influence. We got to go back to citizen statesmen, where people go serve their country for a period of time to help it run itself in terms of the law and the government, and then they have to come back down and live in the world that they helped create by their laws. We got to get back down to reality. We got to get back down to truth. We got to get back down to honesty in government. Our government has been corrupt for decades.
Now, folks, again, we're sitting here with Lynn Wood. Those of you who have questions for him, leave them in the chat. We'll try to get to them. And we have a question here from Tony G. It says, Mr. Wood, what are your thoughts about Justice Roberts? And is there a possibility for him to be taken off the bench?
Well, I'm a lawyer, and as a trial lawyer, one of the things I do most is ask questions, either direct questions to my clients or witnesses, or cross-examination questions to the other side. So I believe that this country has got to start asking questions and getting answers. Instead of buying into the mainstream media's propaganda, think for yourself. Ask questions, look for the answers. You'll learn the truth. There have been strange things about Justice Roberts, starting with the Obamacare ruling, when he said it was a tax, not a penalty. No lawyer in their right mind would agree with that. Why did he go to such an extreme to somehow uphold Obamacare? That's a fair question. Look at some of his other decisions, high-profile decisions, that you could say turn on the left or the right side of the political equation. He came into the court as a conservative. On the key decisions, even recent years and recent months, he's ruled as a liberal. Why? What changed his philosophy? I know for a fact, from information that is reliable, that Justice Roberts and Justice Breyer are avid anti-Trumpers. And I've posted some things on Twitter, language that I will not repeat here, but it's pretty revealing about how Justice Roberts feels about the president. Maybe it explains why he's not been advocating that some of the cases before the Supreme Court that would show election fraud or illegality not be heard by the court. That would help Trump not be reelected, wouldn't it? So I think we're entitled to know whether we're being governed in our judiciary by fair and unbiased judges, or whether we've got judges who have a bias and maybe even have some problems in their lives that are being used to control them. I've seen over the last many months Jeffrey Epstein flight logs that were released publicly, and on two instances the name John Roberts appears. Now, I don't know whether those flight logs are authentic or not, but nobody's challenged them. I know that John Roberts of Fox News came out immediately and said, I'm not the John Roberts on there. I've never met Jeffrey Epstein. Don't know anything about him. Has Justice John Roberts told you that? Has anybody in the media said, well, there's a lot of John Roberts. I don't think a lot of John Roberts were on Jeffrey Epstein's private jet. People of power and influence were, and a lot of them. And one day the truth's going to come out about all of those people and what they were doing on that jet and on that island. But the question's a fair one to ask. The Chief Justice of the United States of America, raise your right hand, tell us the truth, Justice Roberts. Were you on Jeffrey Epstein's plane? If he says no, well, thanks for answering the question. If he says yes, we got a problem in America at the Supreme Court level. We need answers. All America wants is truth. All America wants is the truth about this election. People that are not willing to tell us the truth or let us look into the truth, you better watch out. They got another agenda at work. And it's not an agenda that supports the president, and not an agenda, I believe, that supports freedom.
And we have a question here from Seek Him TV. Oh, one sec, folks. A lot of people are saying they're having trouble with the sound. Let us just get one second. We'll fix the sound up.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, we're just fixing the sound here.
I never had anybody tell me I spoke too softly. They used to yell down and saying, don't raise your voice at me on cross-examination, Mr. Wood.
Yeah. And so, folks, again, yeah, we're sitting here with Lynn Wood at an undisclosed location in South Carolina. We're just...
Oh, just me. Keep going. Okay. So this is a question. Let's go with this question again. It's from, and folks, sorry about this. We're just fixing the sound. But again, we have Mr. Wood with us, Lynn Wood, answering questions. If you have questions, please leave them in the comments. So again, Seek Him TV asked, Mr. Wood, is there any hope for Trump?
And the answer is absolutely, unequivocally, yes. President Trump won a historic landslide reelection. And Biden and the people that are trying to take over our country tried to steal it. There is a mountain of evidence, affidavits sworn, authenticated videos, expert analysis. It's overwhelming to the point of being conclusive. They clearly tried to steal this election. President Trump won, I think, over 80 million popular votes. I've seen significant information that would suggest strongly that he won 410 electoral votes. And the people know it. That's why you see the anger in the people, because they know who they voted for and they know who they didn't. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris didn't even campaign because they knew or thought that they were going to buy the election. Trump's numbers went up significantly in the African-American community. They went up significantly in the Hispanic community. He set a record, at least what they tell us, of more votes than any president in the history of the country. And he actually got a lot more. I think they say he got 74 million. I think he got over 80 million because they flipped with computer software votes from Trump to Biden. So the question is, will truth prevail? And I believe yes. And if truth prevails, President Trump is reelected four more years. I believe in truth.
This is from a question from Sharon Quindy. Why is the judiciary refusing to hear evidence of election fraud?
I believe that the judiciary, just like our state, local, national government officials, have been infiltrated by communism and its influence. I think there are judges that perhaps have been corrupted by money. I mean, corruption's not something that doesn't apply to judges. Look at the history of our country. We have plenty of corrupt judges. I mean, look at the judge that was dealing with Michael Flynn's case, Emmett Sullivan. Have you ever seen such in your life? I believe Emmett Sullivan's corrupt. I'd look into his dealings with Elijah Cumming, now deceased. But I believe that judges that are scared, I believe that there are people that are being threatened. Their families have been threatened. Their livelihoods been threatened. Their lives may have been threatened directly. There's no explanation. What we need are judges with courage. Judges that are willing to do the right thing regardless of the cost to them personally, to put the good of the people first, to put the rule of law first, and not their own selves. No judge that I'm aware of has even mentioned, I know in Georgia, they don't even mention the evidence of fraud, and it's massive. They don't say, well, I'm concerned about this evidence of fraud, but the law says this. They don't mention the fraud. Why not? Because they're trying to do the mainstream media's propaganda line, which is to keep us divided between informed and uninformed. If judges start talking about the evidence of fraud, 50% of the country that's been listening to the mainstream media who doesn't mention the evidence of fraud is going to start asking questions like, hey, was there evidence of fraud? 50% of the people in this country don't even know it because the mainstream media has censored it. I can't believe that we have so quietly sat by and allowed ourselves to be controlled by this COVID-19 mess, the China virus. But I can't believe that we have allowed ourselves to be censored. What makes America different than any other country in the world is free speech. And yet we have watched over the last several months where we have been censored. Speech has been censored. Valid information and ideas and facts have been taken out of the networks. So why are we being subjected to censorship? It's because in a color revolution, you ultimately want to get to the point where the people only hear one side of the story. We're in a color revolution in this country. We had a disputed election. The playbook is now for violence in the streets. They planned it. It's going to happen. People tell Trump, President Trump, if you do this, there's going to be street violence. There's going to be street violence either way. That's part of a color revolution. They've divided us. They've tried to make us angry with each other so that we'll end up fighting each other. They want to divide us to take us over. We're going to unite when we realize that we're fighting a common foe, China, with involvement from Iran and involvement from Russia. Don't forget this. They killed over 200,000 Americans with that virus. It's time to hold them accountable.
Actually, on that note, so Dano just asked, just want to say God bless you, Linwood. What do you think the country should do to fight Chinese influence, not just in the political class, but also among ostensibly all of our business leaders?
Don't buy their products. Buy made in the USA. Don't let China take our money to build its communistic party's totalitarianism regime. And it's not even a matter of doing it for ourselves. Do it for the millions of people in China that are oppressed, that are crying out for freedom, but they're being put in prisons or they're being killed and we don't even know about it. Why you would believe anything that comes out of communist China amazes me. Why you would do business with anybody from China amazes me. The Communist Party does not allow the non-communist people to come over here and do business with you. So if you're doing business with someone from China, you're doing business with a communist who has an avowed public objective to take over our country. I think if you're doing business with China, I think it's an act of traitor. I think it's an act of treason to our country. We got to get tough. It's not just a matter of trying to say we're superior. I'm not saying that at all. But we have a way of life in this country that is based on freedom. That is not the way of life in communist China. Just like it's not the way of life in Venezuela. It's not the way of life in Cuba. And Russia is not the way of life there. The communists don't give their people freedom. Cut out doing business with these people. Look at your politicians. If they knee deep in China money, get rid of them, investigate them. You're probably going to find they're guilty of a lot of crimes, like the governor of Georgia.
So question here from I Am Rebellion. If the judiciary and representatives are corrupt, as evident as of late, when do you think militias will start taking the law into their own hands?
Listen, I don't want to... Freedom of speech does not allow you to utter false speech that harms someone. There's no value in false speech. Freedom of speech also has one other restriction, and that is you should not incite violence. So I'm not willing to say things that people could interpret that would be an incitement to violence. But let's talk about history. And maybe we can answer the question that way. Let's go back to 1776. Let's go back to the oppression that was being conducted on this country by the King of England, where we were saying, you're giving us taxation without representation, where you're controlling the colonies without giving us a say-so, and we don't like the way you do in business, Mr. King. What happened? The Patriots took over. The Patriots fought back. Now, whatever's going to happen in 2020 is going to happen. I believe God controls this world. But all I can say is the last time we found ourselves oppressed by a non-responsive, non-caring government, the King of England, look at what we did then. History repeats itself. I'll leave it at that.
So this is from Philip from London. Merry Christmas, Lynn. Just wanted to say a massive thank you for standing up to these people and exposing their lies, deceit, and corruption.
Well, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you. I'm afraid this is not going to be the normal Christmas. This was not a normal election. But I do hope that this Christmas people will reflect back on what our country is all about here in America. We're a nation founded under God. We need to get back to that principle. And I would like to think that this Christmas, maybe for the first time in many, many Christmases, people will know that it's not about bright lights and exchanging pretty presents and partying. Maybe they should get back to remembering what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And maybe it'll be a time where we spend more time praying and less time partying, because we're going to be praying to God, and I believe increasing numbers in this country are doing so. We're praying for God to save us. And in the end, only God can save us. I believe, from a spiritual standpoint, we're in the second harvest. I think God's going to show us over the next several weeks that he's real again. And I believe our country is going to go back to where it started, a nation under God. And our lives are going to be simpler. We're going to care more about each other and less about money and fame and fortune. So this is a special Christmas, I believe, in this world. I believe it'll be a special Christmas in America. And I believe with every bone in my fiber, I believe that God will save this country. He's a God of second chances, and our country has gotten so corrupt, we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. But I think he's going to give us another chance. And I hope and pray that America takes advantage of it, seeks forgiveness and corrects its ways and gets rid of all the corruption and greed that's in this government and in our business world.
It's a question from Aaron Paradiso. How can farmers in California help President Trump in these trying times?
Well, I'm not a farmer. I know that. I think what people have to do, let me say this. I think you have to realize the seriousness of the situation. I think you have to anticipate that this is going to get worse before it gets better. So I think you've got to look after your families. I think you've got to look after your loved ones, your neighbors. You got to prepare for what the enemy might do in terms of street violence or civil unrest. But you got to do what I give you my best example. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What did he do? He advocated nonviolence, but he advocated civil disobedience. I think it's time for Americans to follow the lead of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and engage in nonviolent civil disobedience. Don't wear the mask. Don't be told how many people can come to your house. Don't be told when your restaurant can be open or closed. It's time to stand up and fight for your rights. Farmers have been the folks that make this country great because you survive. We survive off of you. That's why China wants our land, because they want to use it to farm, to feed their food. To feed their people, to grow their food. So the farmers, I think, represent the people that go out, and many people in other professions do, and you get your hands dirty and you get your calluses on your hands because you're the backbone of America. Stand up for your freedoms. Set an example to others. Use the power that you have. Maybe you don't send something where it needs to go for a little while until the government has to come and ask you to do it nicely. Maybe they'll start respecting your rights if you tell them that you've got power. All the power in this country belongs to the people, not to the government. It's time for the people to remind the government who runs this country, who has the power. It's the people.
It's a question from Sharon Quindy. What can we, the average Americans, do to keep the communists from completely taking over our country?
Fight back. Fight back. Look for them. Look at your leaders that are in the Republican Party, for example, that are not actively fighting for an investigation into the fraud in the November 3rd election, that are not actively fighting for the truth to come out that will show that Donald Trump won re-election. Look at those Republicans. Then look to see what ties they have to China or China money. You're going to be surprised to find the influence of China that pervades the people that are not supporting the president specifically in the Republican Party. So you've got to search for the truth. And in your search for the truth, you've got to speak truth. You've got to be fearless. You've got to stand up and fight for your freedom. The Communist Party has taken over large segments of our government and our business. They've done it quietly. It's insidious. We've been asleep. I believe that we're getting ready to wake up, and I think we are waking up. And when we do, we'll figure out how to deal with the communists. They're not going to take over our country, ever.
Now, this is from Norm Robinson. Do you believe President Trump could start a new political party of nationalists? He would already have 75 million supporting him, and he could draw in both conservative Democrats and non-rhinos in the Republican Party.
Well, I don't know whether President Trump now, when he finishes his last term, whether he'll finish it as a Republican. I assume he'll keep the title Republican, but the titles don't mean anything anymore. Democrats, Republicans, good Lord, throw them up in the air, 50-50. You can't tell who's who. Forget about the titles. It's a lot of the Republicans are ruling like Democrats. So do I believe there's a need for another party? The answer to that is yes. I believe that George Washington, our first president, was right when he said that the two-party system would be destructive of our country, because you'd have people on one side trying to get what they wanted, and then on the other side, you'd have people trying to get what they wanted. And in the middle, the people would be forgotten. I don't know that I like the term nationalist. It has some connotations I don't think that it deserves. But nonetheless, what I would say is that we need a party of the people. I like to think of it as the 1776 party, the party of American patriots. We need a party of the people that realize that we fight for what we share together, instead of always fighting about the things that make us different. So the people need to be heard in Washington, D.C. They need to be heard in state capitals. They need to be heard in your city councils. They need to be reminded that the people run this country. So I think we do need a new party. We don't need two parties. We need one party. We need a party of the people.
This is from Josh. With the constant letdown of the justice system and rhinos, Republicans in names only, what confidence do you have come January 6th? 2018 order, meaning the executive order from 2018, is the way to go, but maybe Trump is worried about the backlash.
It would be stunning to believe that Donald Trump is going to be worried about the backlash. I mean, they've been backlashing him for 4 years. You know, they loved him when he was in the primary. The media loved him because they thought he was a patsy to run against Hillary. Then when he ran, got the nomination, boy, they turned all of their weapons against him. And they created, by the way, in the media propaganda, what's commonly called Trump derangement syndrome. That's a brainwashing technique from the media. I don't believe Donald Trump is going to run. I think he's facing a level of disloyalty that a president has not faced since Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln couldn't trust anybody. Go back and read history. It repeats itself. Learn from history. Look at what Abraham Lincoln was facing. He didn't know who to trust. He had everybody out to conspire against him, but he finally made the right decision. I believe if you look at Abraham Lincoln's history, you're going to find that Abraham Lincoln made the decision by himself, in effect, and his God, to do truth. That's what Abraham Lincoln stands for, Honest Abe. I believe that President Trump is in a similar situation. I think he's got people in the very White House, in his office, in his Oval Office, that are not loyal to him. He needs to get them out of that office. It's either lead, and he's the leader, follow, or get out of the way. Ted Turner from Atlanta, that was his line. Other people used it. I believe in it. The president is our leader. Either follow him if you work with him, or get out of his way. I think the president has some people around him, even in his executive branch, that need to get out of his way so that he can lead this American population. He can lead the people that love freedom to maintain their freedom. Get out of Donald Trump's way. Let Donald Trump be Donald Trump. He'll lead this country to freedom, just like Abraham Lincoln did over 100 years ago.
It's a question from Bill Bones. Do you think that the president's ultimate trump card is martial law if all else fails? I hope so before the illegal transition takes place with everything we have discovered about Biden, about the Bidens.
The Bidens are corrupt. It's the Biden crime family. Before that, it was the Obama crime family. Before that, it was the Clinton crime family. And before that, it was even the Bush crime family, 41 and 43. They're all deep state. It's shocking to hear somebody say that. I voted for Bush's. Well, I actually voted once for Gore. Then I was mad when he created such a fuss. But now I understand why he did and why he had the right to. Not because he was right about Florida, but because our country has to test the integrity of our election process. And that's all we're doing now. It's all we're asking to do now is give us an opportunity to find out the truth and to tell us, you know, was it an honest election? If it was, we'll live with it. Trump will move on and Biden will become president. God help the country if that ever happened. But if it wasn't honest, then let's recognize that President Trump was reelected and let him fulfill the will of the people that voted for him for the next 4 years. So I lost my train of thought, but your question
the
was...
The first part was, do you think that the president's ultimate trump card is martial law if all else fails?
Well, I think Trump will trump them all. I don't know if it's martial law. He's got so many trump cards that have not been played for some reason. That would shed a lot of light and truth to the country about what's been going on in our corrupt society. He's got clearly the executive order on foreign interference in a national election, and we know that occurred now. We know that China attacked our country. We know that others interfered, and a lot of Americans conspired with them. They ought to all go to jail. They're traitors. I think he's got the fundamental power of the presidency. He swears under oath to preserve and protect and faithfully execute the laws of our country. He has a duty to do that. He can't walk away from it, just like Abraham Lincoln didn't walk away from it. He's also got the option of martial law. It's been used 68 times. Lincoln had to do it to save the country. Maybe President Trump will have to do it. But it can be done on a limited basis. I've advocated the idea, whether you call it martial law or acting under the authority of the presidency as commander-in-chief, go into these seven states, seize the machines, have them tested, have the paper ballots tested. In a matter of days, our military could do it, and we trust our military, and we'd have the answer. Did Trump win? Yeah, he did. But the other side doesn't want you to take those machines and test them or look at those ballots and test them because they know they cheated. Cheaters never ultimately win, and winners never cheat. Donald Trump didn't cheat. He won this election by a massive landslide victory, and I just believe the will of the people. We the people voted for him, and we the people will make sure that he stays in office for four more years.
This is from John S. Mr. Wood, what can be done with the ATF making changes to regulations? It appears the ATF, being a non-legislative body, is creating and interpreting laws based on political corruption.
Well, I've heard some of the things about some potential changes they're talking about, but the ATF, I don't have the specific information, but I know this. And ATF's just like these other government bodies. What's happened, and when we talk about the deep state, I think I tend not to point out the obvious. There's an entrenched bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. They don't answer to the voters. They're people that get appointed to their positions, many of them. You can't take them out when you want to. One president can't come in and clean house. He's stuck with this bureaucracy that exists. We've become a country ruled more by administrative rules and regulations than we have legislation. What's the last piece of legislation that Congress passed? Or better yet, name two things that Congress has done in the last 10 years or 20 years. We've been governed by, from the president's perspective, executive order. And more than that, we've been governed by administrative rules and regulations. We got to cut that nonsense out because these bureaucrats aren't responsible to anybody except themselves and their own agendas. ATF doesn't have any right to tell us what we can and can't do. That's done by the people, and we let the government tell us what they are allowed to do. We restrict government. So when this type of thing occurs and you start seeing people telling you, you got to take a vaccine and you got to stay at your house and you can't have this type of weapon, you got to draw a line. Are you going to live free or are you going to live under tyranny? I think the bureaucratic system in this country points you very strongly toward tyranny. It's got to be changed. It's got to be eradicated.
It's from Kiwi Green. If someone was designated a special counsel to investigate election integrity, would they then be able to confiscate and audit the voting machines?
Yes. And they'd probably be able to use the power of subpoena to put some of these people under oath. I've always found that a good, thorough, and sifting cross-examination is a great way to elicit the truth. Confront them with the evidence. Confront them with the documented evidence. Watch them squirm. Point out their inconsistencies. Point out their contradictions. Watch them squirm. Cross-examination is designed to elicit truth, so I think an investigation by a special prosecutor or a special counsel would solve this problem, and it would solve it quickly. People love truth. You can't give people enough truth. The truth being hidden from our country about this election.
This is from Vince J. Will Justice Roberts be impeached?
I don't know. I believe in my own heart of hearts that there's something wrong with Justice Roberts. And I won't speculate on it beyond what I know that I've documented about his bias against President Trump. But if he's got any honor, and if there's any truth to the things that are being questioned, then he ought to resign.
There's a question here from Lynn G. How can Arizona not comply with a court-ordered subpoena? This is a case we are trying to fight.
Well, you know, what's happening is the other side is trying to steal an election. They've clearly showed over the past several months in Portland and other places where they're perfectly willing to engage in lawlessness. People that are willing to engage in lawlessness, why would you expect them to obey the law? Justice Alito ordered the people in Pennsylvania to segregate out the votes, count the put in one pile and affect the votes that were on or before Election Day, which is the only day that you're allowed to vote, and separate out the votes that were cast after the Election Day. They didn't do it. They didn't follow an order from the Supreme Court of the United States. So the fact they don't want to obey a subpoena, the fact that they have given up on the rule of law in some of our cities, that's the kind of government you're about to get into if you allow these people to successfully steal your election. You're going to lawlessness, which then means what happens? The government comes in, and under the guise of controlling lawlessness, they end up controlling every one of you. So we've got to get back to the rule of law. We don't have to invent new laws. Our fundamental law arises out of God's law, the United States Constitution. It needs to be enforced. It doesn't need to be made part of a judge's efforts to legislate. We need to go back to the fundamentals of what that Constitution says and what the founding fathers intended it to say. We've got to get back in this country to the rule of law, or we're going to lose our country.
Question from Steve RB240SX. Have you seen the article on how McConnell's election numbers don't stack up? This could work in your favor for an argument for a transparent audit.
You know, it doesn't surprise me. Mitch McConnell is, I believe, as a matter of free speech, I'll express it. I think Mitch McConnell is deep state. I think he's one of the best examples of somebody that's been out in government too long. He's stuck too much money in his pocketbook. He's had too much influence. I think it's time for the Mitch McConnells of this country to go back home, live under the rules you created for the rest of us. I don't know his wife. I know that she is Chinese. That does not impact my feelings one way or the other. I'm colorblind. But I do believe that it's fair to look into her family's financial dealings in China. I think it's fair to look into how those financial dealings and interest may have been effectuated by Mitch McConnell. And we may find that if we have an honest audit of our election, some of the Republicans might not have won. I know that Kelly Loeffler got into the runoff in Georgia. I don't believe that anybody that voted for Donald Trump, very few would have voted for Kelly Loeffler. They would have voted for Doug Collins. But Doug, he didn't make it. And he won't, for some reason, fight for himself or for the president. Makes no sense to me. When something doesn't make sense to me, it troubles me. There's got to be more there. We're not hearing the whole truth. It wouldn't surprise me if in this rigged runoff election, They let Kelly Loeffler win. And then they let John Ossoff win. And then they'd say, well, it was a fair election. A Republican won. Look at Kelly Loeffler. Is she a Republican? We know that Ossoff's not. He's much more aligned with the socialist communist view of the world. Look at Kelly Loeffler. Look what her husband does. Look how much money he's got in China. Look at how she got appointed by Brian Kemp to be the senator when everybody, including the president, wanted Doug Collins. Now, look, this is harsh truth, but we got to face it in this country. If we don't face the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and embrace it and live it and fight for it, we're going to lose our country. We're going to lose our freedom.
Last question from the audience here. This is from Aixa V. Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. Mr. Wood, is there still a hope after January 6th?
Yes. I'd like to think that this is going to be resolved by January the 6th, but I also feel like that there's plenty of information that the street violence from the leftist militants, communists, is in place and they're ready to strike us. I don't know how long that's going to last. China is already attacked us. I think they'll attack us again in some form or fashion in this new world of different types of battles. What we've got to do is we've got to defeat our adversaries. We've got to unite against common foes, and we've got to win our freedom. Can that be done between now and January the 20th? Only God knows. And I mean that seriously. God is going to control what happens to this country because he created everything around you. He controls everything around you. So we're in God's hands. And I believe, as a matter of faith, that God is going to save our country and give us another opportunity to enjoy our freedoms until the time comes when he's decided it's time to destroy this world. Only God knows the future. Nobody else does.
Yeah, so I guess just as a last question, a lot of people, I think, are losing hope right now. They see the corruption in our system. They see it at some of the highest levels, frankly. They see foreign countries interfering in elections. They see grassroots organizations carrying out violence on the streets. They see our Constitution not being followed or upheld. You've spoken a lot about truth and the importance of it during this time, but I'm curious, for those people who are losing hope right now, what would you tell them?
Fight back. Listen, if you give up, you're lost. If you surrender hope, then you've given up the dream of freedom and the beauty of freedom. Some things in life are worth fighting for. Some things in life are worth dying for. I would suggest to you that if you give up hope, then you've given up the right and the beauty of smelling every day the fresh air of liberty. And you'll be moved into waking up every day with the stench of tyranny. So don't give up. Sometimes it's darkest before the dawn. Sometimes it's when you think you're going to lose it all that you decide to fight back to save it all. If you give up hope, you've given up on America. If you give up hope, you've given up on freedom. If you give up on hope, you've given up on the generations of your family that will follow. Don't give up hope. Find confidence. Be inspired. Fight for freedom. Look at what your ancestors did. Study 1776. If they had given up hope, we would still be living under tyranny. They did not give up hope, and we're free. Don't give up hope, and this country will remain free. It is your duty as an American.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Wood.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Now, folks, as always, I really appreciate the support. Please take care of yourselves as always. Stay informed. And stay free. Thank you all.
Amen.